Isaiah chapter 7, find here in verse 1, "And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah." Ahaz is the king we're looking at here, the king of Judah. And he and the people in Judah got some news. A trial had come in Judah. And here was the trial. Verse 1, "That Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel," got the king of Syria and the king of Israel, "that they had went up toward Jerusalem to war against it." That's where King Ahaz and the people are, in Jerusalem. "And they went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David," was told in Jerusalem, in Judah, where the king, King Ahaz, was, saying, "Syria is confederate with Ephraim." And his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Now God sent the trial. God turns the king's heart whichever way he will, and he was ruling the hearts of these two kings, king of Syria, king of Israel. And God sent this trial to declare, to show King Ahaz and the people in Judah their need of God to save and how he's going to save. How are the Lord's people going to be delivered from a trial? Same way that Isaiah, that God sent in this day to deliver his people from the trial. Same way. The Lord's word is going to be delivered by the preaching of the gospel. And it's going to be accomplished by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. The trial itself is not going to bring about repentance. The gospel being set forth is not what brings about repentance. He uses all those things, but it's going to be by the Spirit of God sanctifying that gospel and that trial so that the people are made to behold who it is that's saving, who it is that's doing the work. Now we're going to see in Ahaz that same gospel that goes forth and accomplishes, through which God accomplishes this in his people. Without this sanctifying work of God in the heart, it won't do anything. And that doesn't excuse Ahaz, but we're going to see in Ahaz what happens if God leaves us to ourselves. That's what we'll see here. Verse 3, "Then said the Lord unto Isaiah." In the midst of all this, here's where it begins. "The Lord said unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz." And the Lord's going to use the means that pleases him. Isaiah is the prophet of the Lord, and Isaiah is sent to a king. To a king. But he doesn't send Isaiah alone. Look at verse 3. "Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Sheshbazzar thy son." Now here's a father and a son come forth to meet a king. King Ahaz. This son's name means "the remnant shall return." When the Lord sends forth a vessel, when he sends forth his messenger, God the Father and his son are present. God the Father and His Son Sherjazzab are present. God's elect, chosen Son, the Son of His love, the Son by whom and in whom and through whom every chosen child of God is going to be saved. The remnant's going to be saved. And they shall return. And this place here is significant. Look at verse 3 at the end there. It was at the end of the conduit of the upper pool and the highway of the fuller's field. This is the pool of Shiloah. It's the pool of Siloam. Same word, same pool. This is a picture of the Word in the Word. Christ in the Word preached. The Word in the Word. Christ said to the blind man, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam," which by interpretation is sent. That's this same pool. This same pool. It was a clay pool. An earthen pool. And this was where the people went to wash and came away clean. It was an earthen pool. Cleansing water was brought to this pool. This is a picture of Christ, the cleansing fountain, set forth in the gospel preached by earthen vessels who were just clay pools, that the power may be of God and not of us. How shall they preach except they be sent? How shall they believe lest they be sent? Lest God cleanses by the washing. By the washing. This pool was in the fuller's field. Go over at Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. He said, "I'm going to send my messenger, even the messenger of the covenant." Now look here, verse 2. "Who may abide in the day of His coming? Who shall stand when He appeareth?" This is Christ we're talking about. He's like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He cleanses. Look over to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." This is what... "Not by works of righteousness which we have done," Titus said. Or Paul said to Titus, "not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." The means that the Lord uses here are both foolish and they're distasteful to the natural mind. They have no virtue or healing power in themselves. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, they'll do no good to Ahaz or to us. But in the hands of the Lord, in the hands of God our King, God our Savior, this Word never returns to Him void. It always accomplishes what He sent it to accomplish. Always. Verse 4. Isaiah 7:4. He says, "And say unto him," now Isaiah is speaking, But this is the word of the Lord to Ahaz. Hey, Isaiah speaking, but this is the word of the Lord to Ahaz. Verse 4, say unto him, take heed. Now, listen to this word. Don't think you're going to get it, Ahaz, right off the bat. Now listen to the word. Take heed to the word. Hear what the Lord's saying. Hear it again. Listen. Take heed. Can you imagine? Get this picture in your head now. This is Isaiah talking to the king. And he's telling the king, take heed. We can't hardly enter into this in our day. Take heed. And be quiet. Hear the voice of the Lord. Be quiet. Be settled. Be still. Wait on the Lord. Wait. Fear not. Neither be faint-hearted. The cure for fear, the strength of the faint-hearted, is turning to from ourselves and trusting everything into the hands of the Lord. Now, the Lord declares here through Isaiah, He's already determined the end from the beginning. That's what He's declaring here through Isaiah. I've already determined the end from the beginning. And He tells Ahaz this. The Lord tells him exactly what shall be. Look at verse 4. Say unto him, take heed, be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and of the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, the son of Remaliah, have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. Now Ahaz, who are you going to believe? You're going to believe those men or the Lord God of heaven and earth? These men say they're on fire. We're on fire. We're going to take it. God says they're smoking. Their fire's already been extinguished. They appear like they're fierce men. Ready to do battle. God says, I am. They've taken evil counsel against thee. The triune God of everlasting covenant says, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. They purpose to make a breach in Judah and set their king in the midst of it. God says, I will set my king, Christ Jesus, my king, in my holy hill of Zion. And nobody's going to stop it. Let the heathen rage. Let them rage. The Lord even tells him how long it's going to be. Look at verse 8. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. Now there's the first thing. Their head is men. He's saying, I'm your head. Christ is our head. Our king is our head. And he tells him how long, within 65 years, shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. Now that probably sounded like a long time, didn't it? King Ahaz is king now. He's king now. And that's a long time that he talked about that they're going to come to an end. Now listen to what he says here in verse 9. The end there. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. The marginal reading says, do you not believe? It's because you're not established. And if you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. God said it. It's coming to pass. Exactly how God said it's coming to pass. Whether Ahaz believes it or he doesn't believe it, it's coming to pass exactly how God says it's coming to pass. But the only peace Ahaz is going to have, the only peace in his heart he's going to have to be a good king and lead the people in the way they should go, is to trust what God says is coming to pass. Now, if he doesn't trust God, he's not going to have any peace in his own heart, and he's not going to be one that God uses to give any peace in anybody else's heart. His kingdom's fixing to be divided and result in division and chaos and disarray because he's got no foundation. He's got no heart. He's got no bone. He's got no blood. He's got no life. He's got no stability to stand up and say, this is where we're standing. This is where we're standing. Verse 7. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. Now, the Spirit of God is telling us how it is. How it is. The Lord God is speaking to Ahaz. Jehovah, the Lord of hosts, God, the existing one, is speaking to Ahaz. And the Lord says, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask him. Ask him. You remember the woman at the well? We looked at this Tuesday night. The Lord stood there talking to her, and he said, give me some water. And he said this to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink. They're one. They're one. The gift of God and who it is that's saying, give me to drink. They're one. They're one. That's one and the same. He said, if you knew, thou wouldest have asked of him. Of him. And he would have given thee living water. Living water. The gift of God is Christ Jesus, the Son of God. The gift of God is eternal life, and this life's in His Son. But all Ahaz sees here is just a man speaking to him. He's got Rezin and Remaliah, these two kings on one hand who are conspiring together, who the word has gone throughout all the people. And they've heard all this rumor that of these kings coming up, and they're moved as the trees in the wind. Their hearts are faint. They have no strength, and he sees all that, and then he just sees some man come along and say, now, take heed and declare this gospel to him of how things are going to be, what the Lord God says is going to be. That's all the woman at the well saw at first. That's all she saw at first. A man. Just a man. Remember how that woman at the well got religious all of a sudden? When she found out, when she perceived that Christ was a prophet, all of a sudden her whole demeanor changed. Well, watch Ahaz. Verse 12, but Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. Now, Ahaz gives a pretension here that he believes, all he's got to have is the word, and he believes. He believes it. But this is the word of the Lord. And the Lord saying, ask of me. Ask of me. This is what the Lord's saying. Ask of me. Ask of me. Ask of me. Ahaz knows the word of the Lord that came before this. He knows it in the letter. Because before this, the Lord said, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." As you did in Massa, you remember when they were thirsty? Remember what they said? "Can the Lord provide for us? Is He with us or is He not with us? Can He prepare a table in the wilderness? Can He do that? Is He with us or is He not with us?" That was a tempting of the Lord. He knows that. He's got an understanding of that. He heard that. He knows that. That was a tempting of the Lord. And you know what the Lord did? He gave them water out of the rock, the smitten rock. That rock is Christ. That rock followed them. Can He prepare a table in the wilderness? Yes, and that rock is Christ. That table is Christ. That bread is Christ. That water is Christ. That life is Christ. That peace is Christ. Yes, He can. And the Lord God is speaking to Ahaz right now, and He's saying, ask to behold Christ. Ask to see Him. Ask to see My covenant. Ask to see this one I'm given for a covenant. Ask to behold Him. Ask for this peace that He gives. Ask Him. And Isaiah is still speaking here. But Ahaz says, I won't ask Him. I won't tempt the Lord. Now that's tempting the Lord. Remember the children came up to the land of Canaan? And they heard a report of men that came back. And they heard two different reports. They heard one report that said, "We can go. It's just exactly like God said it'll be." And they had heard another report that said, "Oh, the enemy's great. It's going to be trouble to go in there." And it caused darkness over the whole congregation. And the whole congregation began to murmur. And they said, "We can't go." And the Lord God told Moses, tell them they can't go. And you know what they said immediately? "Oh, we'll go." And both was the same thing. Both was unbelief. Both was saying we can't go because we don't think we can. And the other, when the word came and said, "Well, you can't now." They said, "Well, we've sinned. We'll fix that. We'll go." The Lord said, "No. No." The Lord here said, "Ask of me. Ask of me." And He said, the Lord said, "Don't tempt me. Don't tempt me by not asking of me. Don't tempt me by questioning whether or not I can do what I've said I'm going to do." And then He said, "Now ask of me and I'll show you how I'm going to do what I'm going to do." And in the one case in the wilderness, the men said, "Can He furnish a table for us?" And right here, King Ahaz says, "I'm not going to ask Him." Both are the same thing. And Isaiah is still speaking here, but the Lord Himself is speaking. The Lord Himself is speaking. Verse 13, He said, "Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary My God also? Therefore the Lord," look at that spelling of that word, "the Lord Himself shall give you a sign." This is Isaiah speaking and telling the truth, that saying, the Lord, the very one I'm about to declare to you, He's the one that's going to do this, and this is that very one Christ is declaring this. How can He say, "Will you weary My God also?" Remember when He came? Remember when He was sending back, He said, "You go tell them I go to My Father and your Father, to My God and your God." He is God. And as the righteous servant of God, the mediator into whose hand God has entrusted the salvation of all His people, He's speaking here and He says, just as real as He spoke to Isaiah here, just as real as He spoke through Elijah to the widow at Sarepta, just as real as He spoke to the woman at the well, just as real as He speaks where He's gathered His people together and says, you can weary men, but will you weary my God also? And He Himself gave Himself, and He Himself is the covenant given, and He Himself declares right here, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. The sign, the covenant of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Emmanuel. It's God. How am I going to know? How am I going to be persuaded? How am I going to know this Word of God is determined beforehand, before the end from the beginning? How am I going to be persuaded and know absolutely that everything God is doing, He's doing to show me He's doing it. He'll save me. He'll save His people so that I can have the peace to stand with God and lead His people and know without a doubt He's doing the work. How am I going to know that? The covenant in the heart. And that covenant's Christ entering in through the Spirit of God and making me to know without a doubt. Making me to know without a doubt. He is the covenant. He's the sign wherein I know. Wherein I know what He's doing. It's the same. He said, ask it in heaven or ask it beneath. The sign, the covenant, never changed. When He was in glory, as He was right now when He was speaking through Isaiah to King Ahaz, and it was the same when He walked this earth and He spoke to men face to face. And in that day when He spoke with them face to face, they said, we'd believe you if you'd give us a sign. And He said, there will not any other sign be given you than the sign of the prophet Jonas. As he was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the earth. This is the covenant. This is the sign. This, Lord, show me. Show me your covenant. Show me Emmanuel. Show me Christ. Make your word sure in my heart. Put peace in my heart so I know that the end's already determined from the beginning. So that as the trial is coming about that you've put into the earth, that you've put in right before my eyes, that you've put your people in the midst of, so I will know and can say and be a comfort to your people, this is the Lord. He's doing everything right on track. He's one. He's the one. You see here, what we're seeing is if God leaves us to ourselves, men want to talk about their free will. Ahaz is being left to his free will. And here's what his free will is. Choosing the evil and not choosing the good. This is what entered the garden. This is what came. This was the temptation in the garden. You won't die. You will be as God, knowing good and evil. And you'll choose the good, not the evil. Ahaz thought he was the king over Judah. That's what his problem was. He thought he was the king over Judah. Well, it says he is. He's in an office that glorifies Christ, the King of Righteousness. He's in an office that was made to glorify the King who came before everybody. And if he's going to be a true king, a king that God says is a good king instead of what God said about him in His Word, that he's evil. You know why God said that? He did exactly what was in his heart to do. He chose exactly what looked to him like the right thing to do. He chose exactly what God saved me from my choosing. Save me from it. Save me from my choosing. Ahaz had already looked to the earth. He had already looked at the king of Assyria. He already had the plans and the works. And he already had bigger fish to fry than what Isaiah came to tell him. He already had it all mapped out and all planned out how he was going to save himself. Christ Jesus, Satan the king of Assyria, came to him and promised him all the kingdoms of all the earth over all periods of time. And you know what the faithful one did? He never wavered. He never turned from God the Father. He never turned from trusting God. Not waver. He didn't waver. He said, and you know what he said? When Satan said, if you're God, cast yourself off this mountain. You won't die. And he said, it's written, not to tempt the Lord thy God. This is the one who really didn't tempt God. Christ Jesus, the righteous one. This is the one who chose the good. This is the one. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. The butter and the honey through the Spirit of God was poured out into him without measure. This one lived upon the butter and the honey of God's Word. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Lord, make that my meat. Make that my will. Make me one with him. He chose rather than what Satan could have given him. What he could have, that temporary deliverance from that worry of his heart, or that like Ahaz here, he just took a temporary deliverance from what was worrying in his heart and thought he had delivered himself by that temporary choice, that temporary covenant he made with man. And we're not going to be saved by covenant with man. We're going to be saved by the everlasting covenant of the triune God, which is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And if you want to behold that it's yes and amen, look and see that everything God has ever said that was coming to pass has come to pass. And we see it in the face of Christ Jesus, who came forth and accomplished the will of the Father, the will of God in all things, and is now set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And he's finishing the work. He's finished it, and he's finishing it. Of the increase of his government, there won't be any end to order it, establish it with righteousness and judgment forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this, that his people might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is why he did this. Now, Ahaz did what every unregenerate sinner will do. He chose the evil and refused the good. Look at Isaiah 8, verse 5. The Lord spake also unto me again, to Isaiah, saying, for as much as this people refuseth the waters of Shiloh that go softly, that pool of Shiloh, right there where Isaiah declared this gospel to him. He said, this pool is sure. This water is sure. Talking about Christ, this is sure. It's sure. And it goes softly. It's not going to be by your might and your power. It's going to be by the Spirit of God. He's going to accomplish this. And Ahaz rejoiced rather in reason and Remaliah's son. He said, this is what he said, I don't think God can do what he said he can do. You see, what I see is a big trial. And all I hear is a man speaking. And hearing he heard, and because he thought he heard by his hearing, and thought he saw by his seeing, he did not see, he did not hear, he did not understand what was being told him. Now, Ahaz's rejection doesn't excuse Ahaz at all. It doesn't in any way excuse him. But here's what we say. I want you to get these things. The covenant, the word, the gospel, Christ, the means of God's grace will be totally rejected until Christ gives himself in heart. In heart. Why is that? Because the glory that is his in making satisfaction with the Father in the holiest of holies is the glory that belongs to Him by His blood, through His Spirit, by which He purchased the conscience of every one of His redeemed from the dead works that Ahaz was looking to rest in Christ alone. That glory is His as well. It's His as well. And until this divine revelation enters in, we'll take to ourselves the wisdom and the power that belongs to Christ alone, and we will choose the evil and refuse the good. We need Christ. We need Emmanuel to enter in by the Spirit of God and reveal in us salvation is of the Lord. Completely of the Lord. And then shall Christ establish our hearts. And through faith in Him, we'll choose Christ and we'll trust Him, and He'll deliver us, and He'll receive all the glory. All the glory. This is what Isaiah was sent to tell Ahaz. This is what Ahaz wouldn't do. Ask of Him. Ask of Him. I reckon Ahaz thought, you don't think I pray? You don't think I pray? God said He didn't. Just ask of Him. Ask of Him. All right, let's stand together.